KCHA 821 and 32 degrees downtown Charles City, going for a high today of around 46 or 47. I'm Mark Pitts in for Chris Berg. Chris taking some vacation time. He's back on Friday. And we now switch gears to talk business, city of Charles City, with City Administrator Steve Deers. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
You said something just before we got
sorry about
on
that.
Air. No. You bought the Columbia House at 1 cent. I did that myself when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember one of my first albums I ever bought was Foreigner 4.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So. Yeah. No, I was just saying how Sister Christian was playing the Night Ranger, and I know that was one of my initial. Can't remember if it was 8 for a penny or 12 for a penny, but either way, it was an incredible deal, right?
Yeah.
And it was a tape. I was in cassette tapes myself, but yep. That was one of my first allotments was that Night Ranger because I had to have that song.
Was you can still rock in America on that?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so.
All right. Let's talk again business of the city of Charles City. And we'll begin on the north side of town with the Clearwell project. What's the latest there?
Yeah. So that's our drinking water plant. So up there on the north end of town, we are working on a Clearwell project. It actually just started construction yesday. So it's about a $4.4 million project that will add 1 million gallons worth of underground drinking water storage. Right now we've got about we have a 500,000 gallon underground tank, and we've got 2 million gallon water towers. And to really run our plant optimally and most efficiently and give us a couple extra days of water storage on hand, we need more capacity. So that's the project we're working on just now. That's going to be digging a big hole and putting in a big cement tank to store water, which unfortunately can't be used as a pool. Also, we have to use that just for drinking water. But the nice thing about this is this project is it's really going to save us in the long term as far as wear and tear on our equipment, because that's kind of where we're at the point with that plant. It's an awesome plant. We just built it here about 10, 12 years ago. But the pumps are on and off quite a bit because we just don't have that storage capacity. So this is kind of that phase two of that water plant project from, a dozen years ago to get that built. And so, we're going to be doing that here this summer, and that's expected to be completed here by the end of December.
Okay. All right. In between then, you've got, your ambulance contract up for renewal.
Yes. So
where do things stand there?
Well, I mean, I guess frustrating might be the first word to come up with, but when we were looking at passing that EMS levy to help, to help cover ambulance expenses this last fall, we didn't know it was going to be this big of a jump for our ambulance services. So, as most of you know, we contract with American Medical Response (AMR). Been a great relationship. They do a great job for us. It's just things are getting very expensive. And a few years ago, we weren't paying anything. And then it changed to where we had to start paying them some money to operate. The city partnered with the county. And for the last 3 years, we've been splitting that shortfall to subsidize the service. And that's been $100,000, $150,000, and $200,000 a year. Now it's projected, the quote we have is $415,000. So it's more than doubling what we're currently at. And as you've heard me talk about, our taxable valuations have gone down the last couple of years, so we have less and less money to work with. So how we're going to cover that shortfall, what we're going to do for the long term, remains to be seen. We're really going to seriously look at what would it take to do our own service, start our own operation. But in the meantime, it's going to be July is coming quick for when that next contract would have to be renewed. So all that to say, Ambulance Commission, which is made up a group of the city, the county, Floyd County Medical Center, we're all going to be meeting here over the next couple months to talk about, the plan forward and what to do. And we've been visiting with other communities, ones that, operate their own operation to see what that entails. And so that's just something we haven't done in Charles City for years. I mean, it's been a private provider here for a long time. So a lot to learn and a lot we're trying to figure out on a path forward, because you can't not have ambulance service, but that's really kind of what we're facing with here.
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point, though, in that you're not, by state law, municipalities are not required to provide ambulance service, but it's in best interest of your citizens to do so. But at the same time, right. It's like a city, a county could throw up their hands and say, you know, fend for yourself. Really?
Yeah. I mean, technically, it's not an essential service by, like you said, by the letter of the law. But in best practice, you know, how do you not have an ambulance service? So one way or the other, we got to figure that out and get that squared away, because it's a it's something that's critically important. The pay structure of how reimbursements come in through Medicaid and things like that are very low for the state of Iowa. And so that's really creating a lot of that shortfall, the way it looks. So we got to figure out a way to close that gap and find a solution there.
Yeah, and trying to budget for it is a challenge. So let's talk about the city budget and max levy coming up.
Yep. So we're nearing the end of the city budget process. All cities, counties, we got an extension this year. It's usually due by the end of March to have everything approved, but. Due to the changes in the residential rollback that the state initially put in to correct a change from last year, they've given us some extra time to get this done. So, we've talked about this before. You know, valuations are down, it's harder and harder to make things come together. So this next step we're looking at is holding what's called our max levy amount, and so that's going to be happening March 20th at 6 p.m. and the max levy is not all of the levies. See, there's a handful of levies that either, you know, cities, counties use to put together. A max levy is some of those, and so it's not the full levy amount, but it's the amount that the state once you look at from one year to the next year, as far as how is the amount you're collecting in taxes changing? You know, is that percentage going up? Is it going down? And how does that really relate? And so, actually, we're in the second year of having a negative increase, or a decrease, I guess you could say, of the total spending, is just because we're unable to collect as much in taxes. So our max levy is going to be, I got the numbers right here in front of me. So total max levy, $3.571,770 million. Which is down a couple thousand bucks from last year. The rate, however, is going up, right? Because the things that have a levy rate that aren't capped have trended up a little bit, just because the value of the property you're putting in there has gone down. So last year that was $1,385. This year that number is going to be $1,436. And so that's going to be the that's going to be the max levy hearing we hold this coming Monday. And then 2 weeks after that, we anticipate having our public hearing on the full budget, on the full levy rate, which is going to be $16.53, which that one's about 33 cents higher than last year.
Okay. So. All right. You mentioned that initial rate of we should have had you on yesterday during it was Pi Day. 3.14, blah, blah,
I'm off by a day. Shoot.
All right. Talking with the Charles City Administrator Steve Deers. We talked about one water project. Let's talk about a water related to the water resource, the WRF.
Yes. From east side of town. From drinking water to the other water. So this is our wastewater project out there that we're wrapping that up. As the drinking water takes off, the wastewater one gets finished. We're going to be talking about that tonight at our workshop. I'm looking at closing out that project. And actually just had a pretty, not exciting moment here a week or so ago when we had those ice flows coming through. And many of you probably saw my post on Facebook about it, but we had a major issue out at the wastewater plant, and nobody knew the difference in town, which is exactly how that's supposed to work. Those ice flows coming through, we had a big chunk of ice literally shear off the top of a sewer manhole right by the plant. And so we had 12,000 gallons of water, river water, clean water, flowing into the wastewater plant. And it actually over inundated the plant. It took one of the pumps offline, but because we had the EQ basin, that 6 million gallon equalization basin out there, that's where that flow was diverted to, and we were able to keep it from bypassing sewage into the river, which is a big deal. Not having to worry about people having sewer backup in their basements, that didn't happen either. So all these things were averted, and nobody knew the difference, which is exactly how that's supposed to be. So what's nice to see is, we spent a lot of money on that plant, $20 million, but certainly nice to see it getting tested in real time and doing what it's supposed to do. So that project is almost done. We're going to be signing off on the final paperwork here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be able to move on from that one.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you don't hope, you hope that it never comes to that, but when it does, well, okay. We came out on the other side of Ryan.
You know, and that's, you know, 2016, fall of 2016, where we couldn't use our sewer system there for about 3 days, and we had porta potties all over town. You know, we were in design phase for this project, and that's one of the things we said was we don't want to be in that situation again if we can avoid it. And so that's when the, you know, that idea of the equalization basin came along, and it's already paid dividends. So nice to see it working.
All right, the mill race project. Let's talk about that, where things stand, when we might see some activity with that.
Yes, so that's the Mill Race parking project. That's that parking lot there between Jackson and Main behind Union House. That project is slated to happen this summer. We're going to be talking about this tonight at our council workshop as well, getting, you know, feedback from the council on design and getting that put out for bid. I know our city engineer, John Fallis, met with Jason Property Owners here a few weeks ago, get their feedback and thoughts on the design and layout, and the general consensus on that was positive. And so now we've actually been finalizing the details on with the DNR and other state agencies, because this has a large sponsored project component with it as well. So we got, you know, sponsored project dollars from that wastewater plant project, and so almost about half of this project, it's about a $650,000 project, about half of it is going to be paid by the sponsored project dollars. And that's because we're going to be putting in a lot of permeable pavers through that area. So we're going to be able to reutilize basically all of the existing concrete and that's there. But some of the green spaces you see now, as that gets converted into parking area, those are going to be permeable pavers. And so we're able to use sponsored project money on stormwater projects, and this falls within that criteria. So we've been looking to kind of work out the details with those state agencies, make sure they're all on board and happy with what they're seeing. And so now we're at that point. We're going to take it to council, get their feedback, get that out the door. So the plan would be for that project to be completed here this summer and be done by this you know, November, December.
Okay. So let people, citizens, know that the traffic will change in that area.
It will, yep. I mean, so that's going to be, you know, become a, you know, not, I liken it similar to how Hy-Vee changed. Hy-Vee and Tyson's changed the area over there, where technically you still have Kelly Street coming through. It's all, that's all city parking lot. Same like this. This is all city parking lot. But that street that wraps around Jackson to Riverside won't be in its current form. It'll be a parking lot in there, and you'll still have ingress and egress, actually in more points than you do now, but it won't be a road that kind of wraps around the corner. So it's going to improve parking, it's going to add a whole boatload of parking spots, and it's going to eliminate the danger of going around that corner. It's going to give better access to all those properties, all those businesses right along Jackson Street over there. So and additional parking for all those, you know, that, you know, now that Union House is full of, you know, residents upstairs, there'll be more parking. The big concern is, you know, long term, is how you're going to handle snow removal and coordinating moving of cars and all that stuff. And so that, you know, that'll be a work in progress and something that we'll work our way through. But the good thing is we have ample parking downtown.
Absolutely.
So there's always places to park. It might not always be exactly in front of your building or behind it, but, you know, for the short term, we have good parking in adjacent parking lots to be able to get that project done and have a better situation there.
Yeah, you're still just a short walk to wherever you might need to head downtown. All right, let's wrap up things by talking about the foster grandparents. And it's AmeriCorps week, or how do you?
That's right. Yep, AmeriCorps. This week's AmeriCorps week. And AmeriCorps is the federal program that sponsors our foster grandparent program. So city has had a foster grandparent program for years. We have one of the largest ones in the state. This program is 100% funded by this federal AmeriCorps program. And so this week is AmeriCorps week. And it's just a week where, you know, across the nation, they're honoring and recognizing the millions of people that donate and volunteer their time to do, whether it be AmeriCorps service projects, or in our case, you know, that same funding source helps fund our foster grandparents program. And that's such an awesome program that we have for the community. And it's not just Charles City, it's Mason City, it's Osage, it's Nashua, all the surrounding communities take part in that program, which helps provide a foster grandparent. And what that person does is they go in and they volunteer time in the classroom and with kids. And so it's just a really neat program. And just, you know, thank you to all the people that are part of our foster grandparent program and a part of the AmeriCorps program in general.
Yeah, my mom, Edna Pitts, she was a foster grandparent for a number of years. She's no longer with us, but she enjoyed her time being around the kids.
Fantastic. That's great.
So, all right, Steve Deere, City Administrator for the City of Charles City, joining us.